I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
I have the privilege to honor God and bless all that He has for me to do because of how richly blessed I have been. Nothing more than that. I have never known a day with hunger. I have never had a day where all of my needs have not been met. And there are many places on the globe that have no concept of what that is. And so if I can be just a small token of what God is doing through Faith Radio, through His ministry around the globe, whatever that ministry is, I am richly blessed to be able to be a small piece, just a tiny penny in what He's pouring out over the world. God speaks to me all the time, and I find sometimes I want to dig in my heels. I want to say, God, my day is so busy. How could you ask me to do one more thing? When really, the things my day was busy with were not God's things, but my things. So I love the gentle nudges that Faith Radio gives me every single day to be focused more on His ministry than on my own personal needs and wants. And I'm so thankful that when He calls me to do something, I know that it is not in my time. So I love how God orchestrates all things that we are to do. And our only portion of that is, will we answer the call or will we be reluctant in His request?
I've listened to that listener's appeal several times, and I'm so gripped by her conviction. She's not saying something that she doesn't mean. She means it from her gut. She understands and knows that God has been the strength of her heart, has been her portion forever. He's provided for her, and we are blessed to be a blessing. And she has received from the ministry of Faith Radio. So she's stepping up to serve and to sow so that others could be blessed. You know, many, many years ago, we were just a radio station. And now, thanks to an amazing digital team, we're now a global ministry, and we've got listeners from all around the world. So when you sow a seed, you're meeting a need. And in a day of so much biblical departure, so many liberties people are taking with Scripture, I'm picking and choosing that truth, but that's not my truth. It's horrific, really, when you think about people dismantling the Bible to suit their lives. I've heard someone say it's manipulating our faith to match our life, but we don't get to do that. The Bible is the inerrant Word of God. The Bible is true. Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. He's the truth. He's the truth that sets us free. And at Faith Radio, every one of us are so committed in our individual lives to following Jesus with our whole hearts. We each have a very personal, real, profound walk with God. But then corporately, we come together, we're leaning in, we're listening for His voice. We want to do His will. We're very aware of our adversary and the messages that oppose the gospel. And we look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and we ask Him, keep us strong, keep us steady, help us to rightly divide the word of truth, help us to bless others, to encourage the church, to reach the lost, to speak so captives can be set free. Help us to be Your hands and feet and to speak and say what You would say if You were in our place today. Help us to do that, Lord. And as we do that, lives are being changed. Captives are being set free. Lives, marriages, families restored. Prodigals are coming home. So it's with that heart that I'm unapologetically asking you, if you've benefited from this podcast, from the ministry of Faith Radio, and you've never given, I'm not shaming you. I'm not condemning you. It's not about obligation. It's about invitation. I'm inviting you. Will you up your game? Will you step up and commit and engage with us to say, you know what, I'm going to step in a little bit deeper into this kingdom story and be part of the solution. I'm going to be part of what God is doing on the earth today. Will you do that? Because we feel like we're just getting going. We feel like there's so much more to be done. You know, there are millions of people who still don't know Jesus. And if they knew Him, they would love Him. So we continue upward and onward. And we're wondering, will you help us? You can text the word GIVE to 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Or you can call toll-free, 877-933-2484. Or you can give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com. It's only just a matter of... This is an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, today we're talking about my favorite topic and my most favorite way to invest my time. Can you guess what it is? It's prayer. You know, we need to discern God's voice now more than ever. And He's speaking. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to enjoy Him. He wants us to love walking intimately with Him. But we have a very real enemy who seeks to disrupt every facet of our intimacy with God, especially our prayer life. Why? Because it's the earnest prayer of the righteous one that accomplishes great and powerful things. So I am so looking forward to today's conversation, talking with my guest, Pete Grieg, I think I'm saying his name right, talking about his new book, How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. We've had John Mark Comer on a few times on the show, and John wrote the foreword and said, the best book I've ever read on the most important thing you will ever do. And Pete, too, is a founder of the 24/7 prayer movement that started about 20 years ago. And out of that movement came the Lectio 365 app. And I can't even express to you how much I love that app. We listen every morning and every night. And my producer, Angie Smith, is the one who told me about it. She's listened a lot longer. So fantastic. And Pete writes this in his new book. The Bible says that you are created to enjoy a real conversational relationship with God. Hearing His voice is therefore the most natural thing in the world. Got a handful of copies to give away. Again, his book is titled How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And you know this, I always love to ask you to answer a question just to help you engage and to help me hear where you're at. Right now, what is the top prayer at the top of your prayer list? And there's no right, wrong answers. I want to just know, what's the greatest burden of your heart right now? What is at the top of your prayer list? Text that in a separate text, 877-933-2484. Another quick announcement. Hey, if you've not checked out our app, it is amazing. Check it out at Google Play or Apple App Store. Search Faith Radio Network. That way, if you're traveling, you can take us with you. You can access our program, even our podcasts and blog posts at any time, 24/7. Check it out, Faith Radio Network on Apple App Store or Google Play. All right, now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Pete Grieg has committed his life to helping people hear the voice of God and facilitating the supernatural outpouring of His Word and truth throughout the world. In addition to being a best-selling author, Pete is one of the founding champions of the earth-rattling, I love that, 24/7 prayer movement, which has brought us the Lectio 365 and Lectio for Families apps. He's senior pastor of Emmaus Road Church in south of England. He and his wife, Sammy, live half their year on a riverboat. Oh, my word. And the other half on an island off the coast of England. All right, Pete, you're already the most interesting person I've ever met. Nice to meet you.
Oh, it's great to be on the show. Thanks for having me, Susie. This is fun.
Yeah, so looking forward to our conversation. And you know this, we love to start every day talking just the voice of God. And I told you before the show, normally I tell my guests, this doesn't have to connect with your book content, but this very much connects with your book content. You've cultivated a lifestyle of listening to the Lord. So what has He been talking to you about these days?
Yeah, that's amazing. That's your opening question. And it's the theme of the book. You know, the thing today, so this isn't something out of the book. This is just from my time with the Lord today. And in fact, this is turning into, you mentioned Lectio 365. I'm literally turning, what I'm about to tell you, after talking to you, I'm going to go and record a Lectio 365 that will come out on Wednesday, day after tomorrow. And it's for, it's to respond to the crisis in Ukraine right now, because the Pope is calling the whole world to pray on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday this week. So this is live for me, but it's Psalm 46. That, you know, I've been so struck that famous verse that says, be still and know that I am God, which of course is deeply meaningful to us all in our own personal lives. The context of the Psalm, if you read it, is international conflict. It's wars and rumors of wars. It's, you know, nations in uproar and so on. And so that verse seems more relevant than ever to me today. It is that sense of God speaking, not just to my own soul, but to President Putin, to the crisis in Ukraine. And he's saying, be still. And it's not like gentle. This isn't whale music and, you know, butterflies fluttering around. This is be still. It's like the way I tell my dog, you know, sit. There's a sort of authority to this. And so that's very real for me today. And again, that psalm says, you know, I will not, the nations are in uproar, I will not fear, because, you know, you are my ever-present help in trouble. So I'm personally saying I'm not going to live in fear, even though I'm based in Europe, 2 hours from the Ukraine conflict. Mm. This is very, very close. But I will not fear, not because there aren't problems in the world, but because God is my ever-present help in trouble. And I know that that is meaningful to Ukraine. 70% of people in Ukraine would call themselves Christians, higher than any US state. It's more Christian than America. And so this scripture will be speaking powerfully to them today.
Wow. You know, I got to say, I was so impressed when the crisis first broke out in Ukraine, how I woke up to my Lectio app and that you guys said that we're interrupting our normal, you know, flow to pray for Ukraine. And it was the most sacred, beautiful, heart-filled, faith-filled, heartfelt prayer. I loved it so much. And this is a time for us to rise up and stand in faith. And I've always loved Psalm 46. And I, you know, and I've quoted that 46:10 verse so many times. But once, I remember one day the Lord prompted me, look at it in context. And when you read the whole chapter, you do hear the thundering roar. You feel the nations shaking. And in that context, his voice roars over the mighty waves. Be still. So it suddenly takes on a whole new meaning, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does, doesn't it? And listen, these are dark and scary times. Of course they are. Mm-hmm. But there's something about times like these that focus us, and God's word becomes more alive than ever, because we kind of move out of zombie mode, right? We find that life feels more precious and more scary than ever. And those are the times people turn to God.
Mm. Wow, thank you for that so much. It's exactly why I asked this question. And I would love, Pete, to get a little more backstory, not only on your faith journey, but your prayer life journey.
Sure, yeah. What do you want to know?
Everything. No, whatever you want to share. But I just, for someone who's maybe not met you before, just your faith journey, when you know, God's presence and his word came alive to you, and how really you went from that to immersing yourself in the presence of God, listening for the voice of God.
Yeah, you know, I turned my back on my faith when I was, I don't know, 17, 18. I ran out of church one night yelling at God, I don't believe you exist. And I had this terrible season where, you know, I tried to be an atheist and I was really bad at it. I just kept backsliding into talking to God and stuff like that.
That is so precious, actually.
I made the most depressing discovery you can ever make. I knew I was bad at being a Christian, but I turned out to be really bad at being an atheist as well, which is really depressing. So gradually I kind of slipped into this beige agnosticism. And then one day, a complete stranger came up to me. I was at a concert and he said, this is going to sound weird, but I'm a Christian. I was like, mm-hmm. And he said, you spoiled that concert for me. I said, why? I'd never met this guy before. He said, every time I looked at you, every time I looked at you, I saw an image of a candle. And it had been burning and it just went out. The whole room went dark. Does that mean nothing to you? And I said, yes. And he said, well, I saw the light come back. And I don't know what that means, but this is what I saw. And at that moment, Susie, I knew God had just spoken to me, because obviously that was my situation, complete stranger. But I didn't know what to do about it. And then it was a few weeks later, I don't know if you noticed, God, because I guess he's eternal, he's sometimes much slower than we want him to be. He spoke to me. I was shifting through some Christmas cards at my grandparents' house in Scotland. And there was a Bible verse written on the back of one of these Christmas cards. And what I read knocked the breath out of me. It was a moment that if the whole world had said, you haven't heard God, I would still have known that I'd heard God. Okay. And the verse was this, Isaiah 58 says, your light will shine when you spend yourself on behalf of the poor and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. And I just, you know, I remember I had to stagger out of the house. It was raining. It was nighttime. And I just had to just breathe and walk and realize, oh, you know, the living God has just spoken to me. So he had broken back into my life first through a vision from a stranger, second through a scripture. And then I ended up in Hong Kong working with an incredible lady called Jackie Pullinger, who for many decades has been ministering to heroin abusers and triad gang members. And it was in Hong Kong that I really stepped then back into my faith as I spent myself on behalf of the poor. And I don't think I ever really looked back. After that, I knew that this thing is true and it deserves the whole of my life. And so that was hallelujah. The beginning.
Sorry, I said hallelujah. And I, you know, on live radio, you should really keep your voice to yourself when the guest is speaking. I was so moved by what you were saying. Forgive me. Awesome. Wow. Praise God. That is amazing. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Lord. When we come back, I wanted to have you talk, if you would, about just the Jesus joining the men on the road to Emmaus and how that story has really come to life for you and really is in some ways the basis of this book, talking to Pete Grieg. I love his book. It's titled How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. And he really does explore the different ways that God speaks to us. And as John Mark Comer said, as Pete said in his book, and I say this as well, nothing is more important than discerning the voice of God. And we have so many expectations and kind of made up mindsets about it. Sometimes we make it harder than it ought to be. Or maybe there's people who've come to you and said they were speaking for God, but did not leave you in a place of peace or hope or faith. Maybe they left you all tied up in a knot and full of confusion. So how do we discern when someone is speaking for God or just says they are? We'll talk about that and more with Pete Grieg when we come back.
I'm praying, God, come and turn this thing around.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Law.
God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around.
Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to Pete Grieg, author of How to Pray. And this new book is amazing. How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And Lord willing, toward the end of the show, I think Pete and I will take some time to pray for the crisis in Ukraine, which is really a global crisis. So we'll just take some time to pray. And but let's start here with the story of Jesus meeting the guys on the road to Emmaus. Talk about why that story stood out to you so much.
Yeah, that story, Susie, is the backbone to the whole book because it's like a masterclass for anyone interested in learning how to hear the voice of God, because so many of the ways God speaks are in this gorgeous little story. First of all, you see that Jesus appears beside them and they don't recognize him. And, you know, the number one thing is learning that Jesus is with me, even when I don't recognize his presence, right? He often comes to us kind of in disguise. Secondly, we read that Jesus, beginning with Moses and the prophets, shows how the whole Bible points to himself. So this is, I reckon, about a two-hour Bible study, okay? Jesus doesn't just show up and go, ta-da, you know, it's me, I'm Jesus, I'm raised from the dead. He takes them on a two-hour Bible study. And I find that interesting because, like, if you say to a lot of my friends, come to church Sunday, you're going to have the ultimate experience of God of your life. They would be disappointed to find out it was a two-hour Bible study. But that's what Jesus does here. And then, interestingly, he interprets the Bible in the light of himself. This is something that theologians call the Christological hermeneutic, which is just a big word for use Jesus' glasses when you read the Bible. Like, understand the Old Testament, understand the Pauline epistles in the light of who Jesus is and what he's like. It really, really, really helps. And that's one of the keys to what we do in Lectio, Susie, where we don't just try and study the Bible, we try and pray the Bible. We try and use the Bible as a conversation starter with Jesus. And then you've also got that thing of, you know, they say, didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us? And this to me speaks of the ways that sometimes Jesus speaks to us inwardly. You know, it's like his whisper in our lives, and just something within us just burns. We like, oh my goodness, the Lord was speaking to me through that movie or through that song or, you know, through that walk in the park or whatever it was. And so we've not got all of the ways God speaks. We've got many of them tied up in this beautiful story. And I tell you one other interesting little detail. And I only say this because I noticed that you referred to them as the men on the road to Emmaus. It was almost certainly a married couple. And I'd never realized that. Yeah, and the reason you said men, and the reason I'd assumed it was men, is all the great artists like Caravaggio, Rembrandt, who painted this, always put two men in. But think about this for a second. They get to Emmaus, and they invite him into their home. It's a shared home. So it's 7 miles outside the capital city. This is a suburb of the capital city. They are commuters. They're walking home. It's like a 2-hour commute, right? It takes you about 2, maybe slightly over hours to walk 7 miles. And it's clearly a married couple. And there's strong evidence that one of them, the woman, had been at the foot of Christ's cross 2 days earlier. That's another little interesting detail that I find out in the book.
Wow. Love this so much. He said, Jesus is what God sounds like. Friends, hear that again. Jesus is what God sounds like. He's literally the living word of God. Hearing his voice is not so much a skill we must master. Therefore, as a master that we must meet. I think that is amazing. And you talk about the many ways God communicates: Bible, prophecy, dreams, visions, community, creation, culture. And I want to touch on each of these. But before we do, one of the things that has just broken my heart over the years, Pete, is just this idea that God, you know, he stopped speaking after the word was written. And so much to say that there are campaigns against, you know, public people who would dare say, oh, God really spoke to me in that passage today. Heretic, because as if there's any, you know what I mean? And that has just broken my heart so much because I think it's so clearly a wrong idea. Maybe speak to that if you would.
Yeah, exactly. We live in a culture that seems to think that people who hear the voice of God are nuts. It's like a sign of insanity, right? But listen, the most eminent and intelligent and respected people who have ever lived, the vast majority of them have unashamedly talked about hearing the voice of God. It's just a prejudice of a certain little bit of the modern world that tries to make this stuff strange. This is not, hearing God's voice is not a mark of insanity. It is a mark of true humanity. To imagine you've got this superpower, like you are born with this innate ability to hear the voice of God. That is incredible. Imagine how tragic it is to live your whole life and not learn to use that superpower. You know, imagine if, you know, Superman never learned to fly. It's just a non-story. Your life becomes a non-story if you don't learn to use your greatest superpower. And that's what this book is trying to help people to do. And one of the things that I loved doing in writing it is telling the stories of incredible people through history who heard God and it changed the world, like Sojourner Truth. She's like, you know, obviously freed slave. We're just at the end of Black History Month. She was a great kind of leading feminist. She's an icon of the kind of the liberal world. But what they don't always want to recognize is she got her name, Sojourner Truth, in a vision from God. God spoke to her and said, you are a sojourner, you're to travel, and you're to speak truth to this nation. And so I go right the way through looking at different people. You know, John Milton, the great writer, Paradise Lost, all of that, he was blind. He would get up every morning and dictate to his daughter what he had heard from God the night before. This is someone whose books are studied in schools and at university. And yeah, I tell the story of Ben Carson, you know, who was Time magazine's put him in the top 20 scientists and medical practitioners on earth. And obviously, he was a former presidential candidate. But Ben Carson, the turning point in his life was a supernatural dream. And it is one of the most amazing stories I have ever heard. I tell it in the book. It's legit. It's from his own mouth. And so we got to understand that to hear God's voice does not make us wacko. It makes us healthy and fruitful human beings.
Come on, somebody. Somebody got to text me an amen. You know, one of the things that I think about, and I've said this on the show before as well, because we cover the persecuted church every once in a while, is that those in the persecuted church cannot even believe that we in the West would even argue about hearing God's voice or even the fact that miracles still happen in our day. They're like, whatever. We need his voice and we rely on miracles. While you're over there arguing, we're over here experiencing God, you know? And I think anybody who's walked in with God and received a word from him in a way that was a trajectory changer, a game changer, a lifesaver, really can easily just sort of dismiss it. Like, you can criticize me all day long, but I enjoy intimacy with God. I'm going to keep an ear bent towards heaven. I mean, even Tozer said the people that went on to do some of the greatest things in the world are those who had a spiritual receptivity, who developed a habit of listening to God and then doing something when he said something, you know?
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. And it's just kind of nonsense that this idea that you know, if there is a God, okay, then he speaks. That's a basic bit of theology. Genesis 1, God created the world. John 1, Jesus is the word of God and everything in between. And so there's no question, if you're a person of faith, that we have a God who loves us and wants to communicate with us. And this notion that you can just lock that up in the Bible. Now, listen, the Bible is the foundation. It is the bed and banks. It's how we stay anchored in truth. This book, I talk a lot about how to hear God in the Bible. And you know, as George Gallup said, the Bible is the best-selling, least-read book in America today. You know, so I'm really strong on the Bible. Don't worry. I know some people worry that the moment you start talking about prophecy and dreams and visions and all that stuff, that you're somehow kissing the Bible goodbye. I think it's the reverse. I believe in that stuff, not just because it's changed my life, which it has. I've just told you about a vision that brought me back to faith in Jesus, but because the Bible teaches me that that stuff is how God speaks, and we should expect it today.
Amen. We're going to pause here. So good. Talking to Pete Grieg, his book, How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. When we come back, let's talk about prophecy. You know, the Bible says not to despise prophecy, but people have come to despise prophecy because it's been so misused and mishandled. So I'll have you unpack, just from a biblical perspective, how we can hear God through prophecy. Don't go away. More with Pete Grieg in a moment. So keep your head up. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. This is an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And when the world gets... Keep your head up. Jesus is coming back. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, having a fantastic conversation with best-selling author, prayer movement director Pete Grieg. If you've not checked out the Lectio 365 app, that app kind of was born out of this 24/7 prayer movement that Pete initiated 2 decades ago. And I mean, my husband's like 6'3", 200 and something pounds. He's a big oak of righteousness. And yet, I'm just going to say this, when we get snuggled in bed at night, he's like, I'm ready for my Lectio. Loves listening. It's so fantastic. But Pete's new book is titled How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Pete writes this, nothing could ever be wilder or more wonderful than the human capacity to hear God's voice. And for that reason, few things hold such potential to confuse and cause pain when used, abused, or ignored. And we're talking about some of the different ways God communicates. And prophecy is one, Pete, where, you know, Scripture clearly says, do not despise prophecy. And yet it's been so misused and mishandled, and some kind of appoint themselves as always hearing from God. And that gets a little challenging. So, but I have been, I mean, people have told me that I walk in that gift. I mean, I'm careful about that, but I've also been a recipient of really profoundly encouraging prophetic words that proved true. And talk about that, because that gift is meant to encourage the body of Christ.
Yeah, exactly. Because in the very same chapter where Paul says that we should earnestly desire the spiritual gifts and especially prophecy, it says that prophecy is for the strengthening, the encouraging, the building up, the comforting of the body of Christ. So this isn't, prophecy isn't something you sit around and say, oh, well, that weird person over there is good at it. That's not my thing. This is for all Christians, and it is a way that we can encourage and build others up. And I'm not saying God doesn't sometimes say some pretty challenging things. All I know is, listen, start with the easy stuff. like before you come on old prophet Jeremiah on me, like, just, you know, let's do the encouraging, edifying stuff. And in the book, I give some a really simple key that will help anyone in any context to ask themselves, is this God speaking to me and through me? Or is this something else? And it goes like this. It couldn't be simpler. It is A, B, C. A, is it affirming? We just talked about that. B, is it biblical? By biblical, I don't mean, can you find a random verse in Leviticus that backs this up? I mean, is it in line with the sweep of Scripture? And C, and this is the most important one, is it Christ-like? Does this sound like Jesus? Does this feel like Jesus? Is this the kind of thing that Jesus would say? And if it passes the ABC test, what have you got to lose? Even if God's not saying it, God's still saying it, right? It's like, you know, if it's encouraging, it's in line with Scripture, and it's like Jesus, then it will be the word of God to somebody somewhere. So, and I just think, I tell this cool story in that. I love this one, Susie. We were doing a big festival called Wildfires in the UK. At the end of the first session, I invited people to come forward to receive prayer. And this tall guy comes forward, and I watched him, just someone prayed for him. He's sobbing. So I went up to him afterwards and said, what happened? Like, you know, what was going on? And this is what he said to me. He said, I haven't been at any Christian event for years. No church, no conference, nothing. This is my first time back in years because I had a major bicycle accident. I landed on my head. I got a brain injury. It's been the darkest time of my life. I can barely even look at a computer screen. So he comes back to this thing. He has the courage to walk forward to ask for prayer. A complete stranger came up to him and said, these are the first words. I want you to just imagine this. The first words he hears after all these years as he asks for prayer is this guy says to him, hi, my name's Mike. This is going to sound weird, but I keep thinking of a man on a bicycle. And I see him riding his bicycle and everything just suddenly goes black. What does that mean? Can you imagine that moment?
Wow.
So he's there sobbing. So I get him up on stage in front of a few thousand people at the start of the next session, right? I'm like, this cool thing just happened. Just trying to encourage people, build faith. And then I had this idea and I said, okay, who was that? Where's Mike? Who's like the killer prophet in our midst? So this little short guy comes to the front and says, oh, it was me. So I pull him up to the stage. I say, Mike, how did you know that God was saying that to you? And he goes, I didn't really. It's a bit weird when you're walking towards someone, you suddenly find yourself thinking about a man on a bicycle and it just stops and everything goes black. It's a bit weird. So I thought it might be God. So I said to him, how sure were you that it was God? And he said 10%. 10%. Wow. So then I turned to Jono, this tall guy. I said, Jono, how glad are you that he took that 10% risk? And he just started weeping all over again. He said 100%. And I just think we need to take a few more 10% risks. Just do the ABC. Is it affirming? Is it biblical? Is it Christ-like? Take the 10% risk, and you are going to have some 100% miracles.
Amen. Amen. I mean, Scripture says so much about encouraging each other and building each other up in the most holy faith. And so, because I think it's been so where there are, you know, self-appointed and, you know, there's been a real, I don't know, some dividing lines around that and people who prophesy things that are way and wildly inaccurate. And it just makes people feel almost self-righteous about throwing it all out. Like, that's just so not biblical. I'm not even going there. But that's despising prophecy. But what if we leaned in and we became noticers and hearers and started to text people? One of my favorite things is to leave audio texts to friends where I just, someone I haven't heard from in a long time, but I just got a word picture and just, does this resonate with you? I'm just praying for you today. And I get this sense of something the Lord wants to say to you. And you put yourself in the path of that flow. It is amazing how often God will use you to encourage people. And I just, your story is amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Pete. Wow.
No, not at all. And you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul says we prophesy in part. And one of the problems we have here is when, you know, if a preacher sometimes goes a little off the mark, you know, doesn't do such a good message, we forgive them. We don't mind. That's okay. As long as once in a while they nail it, they just land the word of God, we're happy. But with prophecy, for some reason, people expect 100% accuracy all the time. And I just think we need to have more of an attitude of saying, do you know what? Some of that is off the mark. Some of it might be from God, but I just don't know. So I'm going to just put it on the back boiler for a while. And other things will be absolute rhema words, now words from God that will change our lives. And I live by that. I received a word from someone yesterday, and then the day before I woke up, there's a wonderful worship leader called David Roos. He messaged me, said, Pete, I had a dream about you last night. This is what I sense God saying. This is just normative for me. And I just don't know how people live their lives without that understanding that God speaks through the prophetic.
Mm. And again, missing out on so much when we're not willing to be open to that whole idea that God would use us and speak in ways. You know, there's times where I've received a word. I have an intercessor. She's so accurate and immerses herself in that prayer room and spends a lot of time there. And there have been times where she's given me a word that I'm like, this is a now word for right now. But there's other times I go, I need to hold on to this because I have this feeling I'm going to need it a month from now, and it would prove true a month from now. So to be humble and wise enough, you know, and here's another one. I shared this probably a year ago on the show, but we're talking about dreams, you know, because in Scripture it talks about dreams. Kevin and I, a few years ago, just started earnestly asking God speak to us in our dreams, especially because I struggle so much with insomnia. So I'm like, let's plant a flag in this ground. And I want my heart to instruct me at night, as Scripture talks about. Well, I would say, 2 years ago, it was the fall, October, I was feeling so discouraged by the corruption that I was seeing and hearing about in the news. And it just felt like corruption was winning the day. And I crawled into bed and I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry, but I feel under it. I need a word of encouragement. And I had a vivid dream. And let me just tell you about it. In my dream, I could see myself in my dream, but so I was kind of watching myself from above like I saw myself on a movie screen. But I was standing in this pile of rubble, and these were giant chunks of clearly halls of power. So something like halls of power, and it was like a football field worth. And I'm standing up to my knees, but the look on my face was I was in awe, and the warmth of the sun was shining on my face. And off to the left was this like kind of city that you could tell was a holy city. There were hues of oranges and yellows, and it was like a most holy city that would not be destroyed. And I'm in awe, like, I can't believe that just happened. And I looked over my shoulder, and about every 20 feet or so, there was another person standing up to their knees in the rubble. And we were all in awe. And it was clear to me that we were intercessors, and this was the infrastructure of corruption, that little old us who had been praying earnestly, actually God moved on those prayers and took it down. And the next morning, I stumbled upon Psalm 46, which you opened with, and then Isaiah 20, I think 25, 26, 27. But you got to read it. It talks about, you know, these proud cities being in rubble and us standing in awe going, you did it. So, I mean, I was like at once encouraged and full of faith. That wasn't hiking myself up by the bootstraps. It was like surges of faith shot through me. And I'm like, I don't care what you say, devil. My God's going to have the last say, and I'm not going to stop praying. It was a supernatural proposition. And once again, I just think to shut down the idea that God can't speak to us in our dreams is missing out on something powerful.
Yeah, wow, that is amazing. What a story. I couldn't agree more. Yes. And you know, the book is to help everyone live with this and to process, you know, we can all grow in hearing the voice of God. You know, not everyone, you can't jump to the top of the staircase in one go, but we can all take a baby step today and this week and gradually we become more familiar. Jesus says in John 10, verse 26, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they obey me. I know them, they obey me." And that word for hear there, "my sheep know my hear my voice," is akouo, which is where we get the word acoustics from. So it's saying, my sheep, like you will become familiar with the nuances, you know, the acoustics of God's word. You get used to his voice. I love that because, you know, like if you met my wife in the street, you'd go, yeah, she's nice. But for me, if I hear her voice, it speaks to a part of me that nothing else can, because it's so deep within me. And that's the invitation to go on this journey into becoming deeply familiar with the acoustics of God's word.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, God. We're going to pause here. But friends, as you listen, doesn't this make you want to have your time with God and your walk with God be the most important thing about you and your life? Everything else can get in line and take a number. And I don't know who said it first. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. But man, if there's ever a time to make intimacy with God your primary concern, so that you're only really tending to the assignments that he gives you and you're praying the prayers he prays through you, I mean, what a powerful invitation. And Pete's book will help you do just that, especially, I mean, one of you texted in and said you're very new to the whole prophetic thing. Well, I feel like he does this. It's a simple guide for normal people. He looks at Bible, you know, getting a word from God, from the word of God, prophecy, dreams, visions, community, creation, culture. I mean, there's so many ways God speaks to us. And so if we really can agree that he wants us to grow in the nuanced way that he speaks, let's do it. Let's grow together. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. Here's that number, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Long. Lord, thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, having church today with Pete Grieg. Wow, he was the initiator and founder of the 24/7 prayer movement two decades ago, and out of that movement came the Lectio 365 app, which is amazing. His new book, he's a best-selling author, his new book is How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. Fantastic. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. Let's talk about, Pete, just about the idea of his presence, about reverence. I really so appreciated this admission. You said, I admit that I'm often breathlessly hurried in my dealings with God. I expect him to be at my beck and call and on some kind of celestial speed dial. I bluster into his presence and make my demand without due reverence. I'm terrible at tearing on the other side of asking to slowly breathe life into the embers I've spread before the altar of the Lord. But God's not in a hurry, and he's inclined to speak to those who show themselves truly hungry. That's just beautiful. Say more if you would.
Yeah, Susie, I think that's probably the biggest key to learning to hear God's voice is to slow down and be still. Because I often think it's a bit like, you know, when the water at night becomes still, you see the reflection of the moon. And that's my experience again and again and again. There's something about just sitting quietly, listening to God, you know, that reorientates me to being able to hear him. You know, Jesus wandered around saying, "Do you have ears to hear?" Which means you could be in the presence of Jesus himself and still fail to understand what he is saying. So it's an absolute key for each one of us to learn to slow down. And And I give some keys to how to do that in the book. You know, the importance of just centering yourself. One of the things we love with Lexio 365, Susie, is, you know, we encourage people to just say, take some deep breaths, to focus on a few words from the Bible, and to really reflect on them. The Lectio Divina is a tool for slowly and imaginatively really exploring what God is saying to us through his word in the Bible. So yeah, we teach how to do that in there as well.
Well, I've got the page right here, 103, four approaches to Lectio Divina. And let's just look at this, because this is such a profound way to slow down and ponder God's word. So you're taking John 3:16, and you emphasize different words. And friends, just take a deep breath with me, if you would. Just breathe in, exhale out, and look at this. For God so loved the world. So God is the emphasis there. The greatest lover of life in the universe is God himself. He is love. So I focus on God in praise. For God so loved the world. This tiny little adverb, so, takes on enormous weight. He didn't just love us a bit with his fingers crossed behind his back. He loved us a lot. God so loves me. He so loves my family. He so loves the people who don't love him back. Do I ever ration or restrict my love as if it's a limited resource? For God so loved the world. His heart toward us is not in anger, frustration, or disinterest, but wholehearted, all-consuming love. Is this my primary attitude toward the world? Whom do I struggle to love in this way? And listen to this. For God so loved the world. Wow. Not just Christians, not just humans. God loves the world of molecules and mountains and businesses and cultures and places and people. How might my attitude change if I were to live with a greater awareness of God's overwhelming love for everyone I meet? Honestly, that makes me want to cry. When you slow down like that and emphasize one verse like that, it's just game-changing, isn't it?
It's so simple, isn't it, Susie? And you know, I used to do some of those Bible in 1 year things, and I love them. That's a really good thing to do. But here's my honest confession. Some days, because you know, you have to read kind of 3-4 chapters of the Bible every day. Some days, if you'd sat me down at the end of my quiet time and said, so what did you actually read? I wouldn't be able to tell you, because I was so busy just trying to read enough that I hadn't slowed down to listen. And that was part of the Lectio thing for me, was what would it look like not to try and read the Bible in 1 year? What would it look like to read one book of the Bible in a year? You know, what would it look like to go deep and slow? And with that verse that we just did there, that's just so famous, just by looking at the different emphases, it comes alive and it becomes a conversation starter. And then you can also use your senses. You know, a lot of bits of the Bible, you think, like Jesus in the boat on the Lake Galilee in the storm. You know, you think, what were they smelling? And you're like, I'm smelling fish, and I'm smelling wetness, wet clothes, and I'm smelling men's body odor, like, because they're out at night, you know. And then, like, what am I feeling? I'm feeling the cold on my skin, the shiver. Listen, as you start to do that, the story comes alive. And some people are paranoid about, you know, if I use my imagination, I'll somehow get into heresy. But God gave you an imagination, and this is just learning to use it for its glory.
Wow, so good. You know, I want us to pause and pray, you and I, right now, for Ukraine, for all of the world. And, you know, I may have a few minutes left to be able to ask you a few more questions if I can, but I just want to make sure, just felt very led by the Lord to pause and give some time and space, since I have you here with us. If you're okay with that, can we do that?
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, let's pray, and I'll give it to you first, sir, as much as you feel led.
Susie, just before I pray, let me just give this, because this is another helpful tool for people, because I bet there's people listening to this saying, I know I should pray for massive problems like what's happening in Ukraine, or, you know, when there are natural disasters, but I just don't know how to pray. And this really helps people. We always talk about praying the three P's, and it goes like this. Always pray for the people affected, okay, in any disaster. Then always pray for pastors. There's always people on the ground who are trying to build the church, preach the gospel, bind up the brokenhearted. Always pray for pastors. And the third one is always pray for politicians and peacemakers, you know, those who are actually because we're told to pray. Now, this is super simple, but honestly, it really works. So you're going to hear me. I'm going to do that right now, but I want you to know that's where I'm getting it from. In my head, I've just got the three P's. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Prince of Peace. And we pray now for the crisis in Ukraine. We cry out to you, Lord, for the people who are affected, the millions of people who are displaced. We pray, Lord, for those who are grieving and broken, those who are bereaved, those who've lost their homes. And we cry out to you that you would intervene and that you would bring hope to their lives and that you'd bring an end to the suffering. And because you are the Lord of Lords, you're in charge here. And Lord, we pray for pastors and priests, those who are seeking to serve your people in Ukraine, a country in which 70% call themselves Christians, a country more Christian than America or the UK. Lord, we cry out for the church in Ukraine, that you would intervene. We pray, Lord, that your church would carry your good news, that many would see and fear and put their hope in you, that many would become your followers. We pray, Lord, for the church as it seeks to bind up the brokenhearted and feed the hungry. We pray strength for pastors today. And Lord, we pray for politicians. We pray for President Putin that you would speak sanity and peace to his troubled heart. We pray, Lord, for the president of Ukraine, that you would give him courage and clarity and wisdom beyond human wisdom. We pray for President Biden, for Prime Minister Boris Johnson, for those who are in positions where they can influence the outcome of events. Would they please, Lord God, do your bidding? So we say, come, Holy Spirit, to this crisis. You who moved over the chaos and the darkness and brought light and order, come, Holy Spirit, let your kingdom come. Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, have mercy upon us and give us peace. Amen.
And Father, we come before you. We pray your word. Lord, let us see your miracles once again. Let our children see your glory at work. And Lord, I pray, raise up leaders to push back the darkness. Raise up evangelists to bring in the harvest. Raise up more intercessors, Lord God, to pray the mountains into the sea. Father God, we pray that you'd hear the cry of our hearts. You'd cut off the strength of the wicked. Increase the power of the godly. Bring salvation. Bring a fresh fear of God throughout the whole world. And Lord, I pray that we would see such miracles in our day that the whole world would be served notice that there is a God in heaven. And you hear us when we pray. You know us. You know every hair on our head. You know about your children. You know about the demonic schemes that are hidden in men's hearts. And we pray salvation, God. We pray for justice. We pray for redemption. But I pray, God, that there would be such a profound movement of answers to prayer that all media would be just put in a position to have to speak of it, to declare it, to confess of it, that there's no other explanation except that there is a God in heaven and who hears us when we cry. And so we call on you, Lord. We trust you, Jesus, to do what only you can do. And we pray, God, put a firewall between the wicked and the weak, God. I pray that you'd move in our hearts and you'd do something in our day that could never be explained except to say that the hand of the Lord has done this. And we trust you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Pete, I am just praying with all my heart that you will come back again and again, because I feel like we're just scratching the surface and there's so much more in your book to talk about. Would you join us again?
Oh, I'd love to. And Susie, I should say, when you just played that Jonathan Helser song, No Longer Slaves, he's my dear friend. In the book, wow. I tell a story about the incredible supernatural miracles that gave birth to that song that very few people know. Honestly, you read that story, it'll fry your noodles. It's amazing.
Oh, fry my noodles. We got to go. Friends, thanks for joining us today. I pray that you met God today. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Susie Larson Live podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast now at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live.